7:38, Nashville Morning News. There's going to be a Senate committee hearing today in which four bills will be discussed. Bills to make it easier for handgun carry permit holders to go armed on such places as college campuses, hold property owners liable for injuries suffered by a carry permit holder, and require private schools to have gun policies. Let's bring in Dr. John Lott, Jr. He is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, and he is in town to testify on these bills at the request of the chairman of the committee, Senator Brian Kelsey. Dr. Lott, good morning. Welcome to Nashville's Morning News.
Oh, it's great to talk to you again.
Thank you. Is there something that all of these bills have in common that bring up a misconception about guns and gun ownership that people need to get over?
Well, I think the main misconception is just that if you ban guns from certain areas, that somehow that will make people safer. The problem is that it actually encourages attacks to occur. Just yesterday we had a news report out of Detroit where a man connected with ISIS was plotting to go and attack the largest church in the Detroit area. And the FBI has him on tape saying that he had picked the church as opposed to other venues because he knew that the church forbade parishioners or anybody there from having guns. So he thought that they would be very easy targets for him.
And apparently his father stopped him, or something his father did spooked him, and it's the only reason that he didn't carry out his attack.
Right. Yeah, I know the father discovered that he had been collecting guns and had been worried about some of the things he'd been saying about ISIS, and had basically confronted his son about what his intentions were.
What do you think? This is almost an attempt almost to coerce store owners into taking down those gun-free zones signs on their doors. This first bill, 1736, would declare that a person or business that posts signs prohibiting guns on the property become liable if a handgun carry permit holder is harmed, injured, or killed. So if I don't take my gun into your store because you told me not to, and a robber hurts me or kills me, then you can be held liable for that.
Well, I'm not sure I'd use the word coerce, because the problem, to a large extent, is with federal OSHA rules. Federal OSHA rules basically require that workplaces be, quote, free from recognized hazards. And the problem is that a permit holder appears to be defined as OSHA as being a recognized hazard. I mean, you and I may feel quite differently about this, that it's a gun-free zone that actually encourages the attack. But you have pressure essentially from the federal government that makes some of these store owners declare their places gun-free zones, even if they wouldn't have. The ideal solution would be just to get rid of the federal kind of finger on the scale there and let private property owners determine whatever they want to do. But given that you're not going to get that happening anytime soon, how do you kind of balance off that federal pressure?
So OSHA defines the law-abiding concealed carry permit holder, one of the safest people on the face of the earth, exercising a right guaranteed by our Constitution. OSHA described that person as a hazard.
Right, well, but they brought citations in the past based on that. And so, you know, it creates a fear. I mean, you go talk to lawyers. Lawyers are going to tell you you're facing legal exposure by going and allowing, let's say, an employee or somebody else to come onto your workspace with a gun. I agree with you. I mean, it's hard.
Yeah.
Look, you look at state after state and you find for any type of firearms-related violation, these permit holders get into trouble at thousands or tens of thousands of one percentage point, and the vast majority of those have nothing to do with any danger that they're representing to other people. A lot of them just have to do with people forgetting to have their permit with them or, accidentally going into a gun-free zone.
The places most likely to not allow guns are the places where the most and, frankly, the youngest people congregate, in schools, in concert, in sports stadiums. Are we just shockingly ignorant to continue to insist that those kind of places not be that those places be off limits to concealed carry permit holders?
I mean, look, we allow permit holders virtually any other place in the state of Tennessee or other states. We can see time after time how, as you say, incredibly law-abiding they are, how few problems that they are. And there are other states that allow them in those types of venues. And I would challenge people to go and point to serious problems that have occurred. You can't, you know, so you have 12 states that mandate that the permit holders be allowed to carry their guns to varying degree on public university campuses. Point to one crime that's been committed in any of those places by a permit holder, just one.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, a lot of the discussion that exists about guns are possibilities of things that might go wrong. But we don't have to guess about these types of things. We have a lot of experience by just looking at what's happened in other states. These are the same arguments that came up when Tennessee first adopted concealed carry.
They are arguments aimed at exactly the wrong... They're arguments. They're legitimate arguments. They're just aimed at the wrong population. You know, there are scary statistics about gun crimes and gun violence and gun accidents and everything else, but they don't apply to this population of concealed carry permit holders.
Right.
And they try to take the scariest arguments and apply it to the population that it uniquely does not apply to. John, thank you. Have a good time testifying to our Senate Judiciary Committee today. We've got to run, but I appreciate you spending some time with us. You can find all of John's work at crimeresearch.org. He's the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. We appreciate that. Crimeresearch.org.